Good morning and greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see each one here, and it is good to be in the house of God again this morning, and trust we continue to look in God's Word. So we go through here, appreciate the Sunday school lesson, the striving for spiritual victory, and that's something, I think if we're honest, it's something we each one of us want to have, desire to have. I believe can have, but it takes effort. Nothing good happens by default. And subject this morning I'd like to look at, I think it feels it goes along with the idea of a spiritual victory, or at least it definitely plays a big part in spiritual victory. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, I'm going to start reading at verse 13, and I'll just read to the end of the chapter. James 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the span of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. End of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's something you read over it. And at least for myself, you don't always stop and think about it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'd just like to take time this morning to just look at some of those things. Message title is effective prayer. Another option would be you could look at the power in prayer or power of prayer. What is effective prayer? Or how are our prayers effective? God communicates to us in various ways, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through other people, through even through circumstances. But prayer is the Christian's communication line to God. And I believe it's the most powerful resource a Christian has. I think we've all heard it, but prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Prayer is also essential to spiritual life, or you could even say spiritual victory. Think about our Sunday school lesson. Now, at least for myself, too often we see prayer as a last resort. When everything else we tried fails, then we pray to God. Prayer needs to be more than a 911 call to God. It's good to pray. We need to pray when we get in tough spots, emergencies, if you want to call that. But I think we need to pray proactively as well. Maybe we have a big week coming up, and we don't know how we're going to get everything done. Tell God about it before we get there. Pray proactively. We could just put various situations, scenarios in there. Ask God to guide us and give us the strength for whatever lies ahead. Instead of waiting until we desperately need His help. Now just look, what hinders effective prayer? First thing I have down is hidden or unconfessed sins. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In order for prayer to be effective, sin must be confessed. God does not hear those who are willfully living in sin, not wanting to confess their sin and free themselves from their bondage and addictions. With sin hidden in our lives, our prayer life yields nothing. Another hindrance to effective prayer is disobedience. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Failure to heed God's commandments and a lack of desire to do His will makes our prayer life of no effect. Another point is the lack of faith. Or you could say doubt. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. and also James 1, 5 to 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Prayer can be hindered by a lack of faith. See that in verse 15 of James, the prayer of faith. Sometimes we, or at least I should say myself, times we could say we pray to God, but yet we have the attitude of we'll see what God does with that. When we're doing is we're praying with the lack of faith. We're praying in doubt. It takes faith to believe that God is able and willing to supply our needs. Verse 6 of James 1, let him ask in faith. And if we ask in faith, backing up to verse 5, God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And also the verse out of Hebrews, without faith is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, I think that's through prayer. You need faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And also the verse 16, effectual fervent prayer. This times the lack of faith or doubt, if we don't have faith or we have doubt, we lack persistence. Sometimes we pray thinking we need our prayers answered now. But verse 16, the fervent prayer, that carries the idea of perseverance. And also Hebrews 6, the diligently seek him. It's something that takes effort. We can't just expect God to hear us every time if we're not diligent or persevere in our prayer life. Another point as a hindrance is selfish desires. James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. If we ask for the wrong motive or the selfish reasons, it says you receive not. Is our prayer effective or not effective because we're asking for selfish desires? Praying with the attitude that I deserve this, or thinking because we pray, we tell God about it, we receive it, when really it's just a selfish desire. Our own, you may consume it upon your own lust, your own selfishness, your own carnality. That we will not. Prayer will not be effective if we ask for selfish reasons. And then moving on to, let's look at keys to effective prayer. Verse 16, it says, "The prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Here we see it's the prayer of the righteous. A righteous man, righteous woman, is humble and obedient to God's word. In order to effective prayer takes humility and obedience. Sometimes we can we can question ourselves you can say we have many faults, failures. Does God hear me? Will God hear me? Verse 17, Elijah, subject to like passions as we are. He was a man, say, made of the same stuff, the same passions, the same shortcomings. But yet God heard Elijah when he prayed earnestly. First time he prayed, God had stopped the rain. And then he prayed again 3 years, 6 months later. And it rained again. God does hear the prayer of the righteous. God hears those that obey his commandment and are striving to live a life that pleases him. 1 John 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18, and I'd like to read the parable familiar with it, but it's the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18, verse 19, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The publican recognized his need for God's mercy. And we need to see our own helplessness before God and our need for Him. We can do nothing on our own strength to live a victorious life for God. Verse 14, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Effective prayer comes from a humble heart. God is not looking for perfection, but for brokenness and humility before Him and willing obedience to obey Him. Another key for effective prayer is, I'm going back to James 5 and verse 13. Is any among you, let him pray? We need a private prayer time with God. That word afflicted has the Strong's definition is to means to undergo hardship, be afflicted, endure afflictions, hardness, suffer trouble. And what are we supposed to do when we say are afflicted? Are suffering trouble, are in the midst of trials, hardship. Let him pray. And that is, we get the idea of a private prayer. A time when we can just pour our heart out to God. Jesus even knew the importance of private prayer. He took time for private prayer. Verse out of Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And then also Mark 6 verse 45 and 46, again talking about Jesus, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. We all experience trials, hard times in life. And what do we do with that? We need to pray about it. Whatever we're facing, commit it to God. Matthew 6. You can turn there if you want. Matthew 6, breaking in at verse 5. And I'm going to read to verse 8. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him. Here again, Jesus teaching on private prayer, prayer in secret. Time with just God and ourself, laying aside distractions, time when we can just pour our heart out to God, the afflictions we may be experiencing. But it's like the Pharisees, we can become very religious and have a regulated system of prayer. We can go through all the proper steps. That the Pharisees did, the hypocrites. They prayed, they had their regulated system of prayer. But God wants prayer from the heart, not vain repetitions, not for the praise of men. He wants it from our heart. God cares about each one of us and what we are facing. Verse 8 of Matthew 6. God knows what we need before we even ask him. But he wants us to come to him through prayer and ask. He wants that communication with us. Another point is the prayer of faith according to God's will. First John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. God does hear the prayers of faith, but asked according to his will. Sometimes we can wonder why it seems that God does not answer our prayers. We're asking in faith that he will. We're asking in faith We're asking faith, believing that he can. But it may not be his will. We face hard things, disappointments, struggles, and we ask God to remove them. When Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." We need to pray in faith, but we need to surrender our will to God's will. And maybe God's not, maybe it's feeling like our prayers are not getting answered. Because maybe God's using it as a teaching moment. Maybe he's teaching us patience. Maybe it's leading us to a deeper trust in him. Too often we expect God to answer our prayers the way we would like them. Instead, he will give us strength and grace for whatever we're facing. We still need to ask in faith, knowing that nothing is impossible with God, and he is able, if it is his will. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." If we pray in faith, resigning our will to God's, God is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or think. Another point, James 5, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you be healed." Confession, and we need to be willing to confess our faults, our failures. Are we willing to ask for forgiveness, ask for help? In areas we may be struggling, or willing to apologize when we are aware we were in the wrong. I think that's the confessing our faults one to another. And then we also need to pray for one another. God doesn't intend for the believer to live the Christian life by himself. There is power in public group prayer. In Acts 12 is the account of Peter in prison, and the church was together praying. In verse 5 out of Acts 12, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And God heard their prayers, and he delivered Peter from prison because of their prayer meeting." The power of public prayer, or a group prayer. Do we value the importance of our prayer meetings? Or have they lost their power because we use them because we view them as a religious thing we should do. We need the brotherhood to pray for one another. Or at least, I definitely do need the brotherhood, need the support of one another. And there is power in that. There's prayer is effective when we pray together. The brotherhood prays, the church prays. God hears that. When one withdraws himself from the brotherhood, closes himself off to the brothers and sisters in the church, closes them off from his life, I believe that individual loses the power of prayer that could help him through a struggle or difficult time. We need each other. Pray for one another. And then just briefly, what are the, it says verse 16, it says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What are the rewards, or you say the benefits of effective prayer? Prayer is the channel through which God uses to bless us. It's through prayer we find forgiveness of sins and peace. Through prayer we find deliverance from temptation. Through prayer we find healing from broken relationships. Through prayer we find healing emotionally and spiritually. Sometimes God does grant physical healing, but not always. Let's look at Luke 11 yet. Luke 11, I'm going to break in at verse 5, read verse 13. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto thee, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God uses prayer to give us gifts, give us blessings. the good gifts. And sometimes it may not be always what we want, but it will be what is the best for us. If we would always get what we want, it could land up being more of a hindrance than a help to us. God has our best interests in mind and will always give us and will always give what is best for us if we ask. If we ask in faith, ask according to his will, God will give what is best for us. In closing, prayer is a wonderful privilege we have. God wants us to use it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And 1 Timothy 2:8, I therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Prayer is not limited to a time or place, wherever we are. God hears us, and God wants us to use prayer. God hears us whenever, wherever we are. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.